Hi everyone, it's Josh here. I just wanted to let you know that Lovecraft Esque, the storytelling card game of creeping cosmic horror, is heading for a second edition crowdfunding on Backerkit in October. It's a much improved version of an already great game. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will have heard us playing it, and if you haven't, I recommend you go and check those episodes out. And if you would like to get in on the new edition, there is a link in the show notes, which you can use to sign up for notifications when the campaign launches. Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. I am your host, Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him. And with me, I have...
I'm Becky Anderson. I'm going to be playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat. That's the Ares playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
Hi, I'm Ed Tomlinson, and I'll be playing Dr. Tobias Roy, or Dr. Roy, as he's commonly known. Our pronouns are he and him, and he's the Scorpio playbook.
Hey everyone, I'm Nick Bate. I'm playing Commander Sam Buckley, Captain of the Hecate. He is the Taurus playbook. We share he, him pronouns.
Hi everyone, I'm Sue Elliott. I'll be playing the Gemini playbook, Sonia Vega, and our pronouns are she and her.
There's an opportunity for a scene in the shuttle on the way back with the three of us.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to do that now?
So, yeah, Sam just strides onto the shuttle, expecting that he'll just get in the co-pilot seat and we'll fly back. Where are you, Sonia? In the co-pilot seat?
Yep.
No, I don't think you'd be in the co-pilot seat because I'm expecting Sam, the captain, to come back.
Well, then that's where she should definitely be.
Can I just be like sort of sitting there? Or
yeah, I think that's
just perching, perching there.
Yeah, okay. He just strides in the door and slows down a little bit when he sees Sonia there. I think he'll say, Ms. Vega, are you okay? I assume you've got...
Yeah, I've got like little, you know, bits and bobs.
I think it's at this point that, and I really want to stress that my worst stat is the cover-up stat.
No shit.
It is! That Hellcat thinks the best way to play this slightly awkward situation is to salute really smartly and say, Captain... In a way that, like, Vega, you have literally never seen her talk to anybody like that. Like, not Sam, not the CAG, not the Admiral, not anybody. And she does it, like, totally, like, sincerely.
Do you and I, Vega, just turn and look at Hellcat? Is that...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Exactly the same response, I think.
She just, like, slumps back down in the pilot seat and starts checking dials and things.
Sam's look probably lingers on her a little bit longer, but then he turns back to you, Sonia, and says, what happened?
Well, you heard the debrief from the doctor, right?
Yes. Well, to be honest, I heard a debrief from the colonel with embellishments from Dr. Roy. Actually, we need to get back to the Hecate. Let's get on the way.
Aye, aye, Captain. She starts, like, doing safety checks that, like, she never normally does.
I really enjoy this new Loris, so...
I think Sam probably excuses his way past Vega and maybe even gives Hellcat's shoulder a squeeze as he drops into the co-pilot seat.
Just Vega must see that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think that Loris visibly relaxes and then leans a fraction of a millimeter in Sam's direction. But that you, Vega, are very clear that that is what has happened.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's probably also just a slight lean on Sam too, in the same direction. But we'll flip switches and all the rest of it and get ourselves launched in a way. And once we're flying back, I'll say probably quietly to Hellcat, how long's the flight? I'll say to Hellcat, don't rush, but make it look like you are. When we're back on board, we're going to have to start a full sweep.
Okay.
and get some extra security down to Dr. Roy's lab.
What's going on, Sam?
I honestly don't really know. Korak's on the Agamemnon.
All over the drive room. That's what Vega just said.
I'll give Hellcat a look, I think, and then climb back into the back of the shuttle. And Sam is going to sit down in the... I'm thinking like a raptor, you know, so there's space that we can sit and face each other in the back while the shuttle's transiting. And I think Sam's going to open with... I think I owe you an apology.
Wow, Captain. What for?
I think you were asking important questions on my bridge. And I didn't give them or you the respect you deserved.
Sonya smiles. She's quite enjoying this. Well, that's very big of you, Captain. I'm going to take a guess and say that you've just been verbally beaten up by a lot of people in the last 24 hours.
I think Sam smiles, but it's a slightly sad smile. And he says, mostly I think I earned it too. Do you want to have a shot?
No, I'm good. I can tell when a guy's taken enough. And to be honest, it's not the first time I've been thrown out of a bridge or a building or a secure location.
Yeah, that feels like a little bit of an icebreaker, and so Sam will probably chuckle and say, well, you're welcome back on my bridge anytime, but I can't guarantee I won't snap at you again.
I can live with that.
Is there a move here?
Are you reaching out?
I mean, a little bit, but I don't know if it's gone hard enough.
Have you hit the trigger for reaching out?
Well, yeah, the question is someone who matters to you.
Yep.
And I think Sam is the kind of, this is going to sound like a cop-out, but I think Sam is the kind of person where basically everyone does. And then share a significant failure or regret with them.
Okay, yeah. That's
Or just share your feelings as well.
You've got to share your feelings about them.
Hang on a minute. So you weren't actually role-playing, you were actually planning a move to get some XP, is that what? Now I feel disappointed.
Just milking the system. So cynical.
So cynical.
I'm really heartbroken by that revelation.
I'm just playing the game.
So am I. Just remember that.
So I was just checking if I've got a relationship with... And I do, just one though. So I'll roll with that relationship. And it's a 9. So... On a 7 to 9, choose one of us who erases pressure. You've had your breaking point action, haven't you? Yeah, so you're...
Yeah, I'm back down to 2.
Okay. I think I'm going to take it off me, because I think maybe that was more pressure releasing for me than it was for you.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And our relationship goes up.
Awesome.
And I max out my XP track.
Yay!
Then Sam will say... We'll ask, do you feel like you can talk about what you saw on the Agamemnon?
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay.
It's too traumatic. I think it's too early. Dr. Roy sending psychic signals across space.
Roy conducts a long-range cover-up role.
Can I do that? No. Okay, never mind.
No, but maybe her hand does. Just clamps itself over your mouth.
Just starts talking for me like that. So is it useful for me in character to do that, or shall I just say I tell Captain Buckley what I told Loris?
If that's what you're going to tell Captain Buckley, yeah, but you didn't say that much, did you, or did you?
I didn't say very much, no. I certainly don't think I would tell Captain about his mushroom equivalent.
Ah, yeah, okay. I was wondering if you'd tell Hellcat actually about that. So I think the question Sam wants to ask you is, Ms. Vega, you spend a lot of time digging into things. It's kind of what you do best, I understand.
Absolutely.
Does anything seem fishy to you here?
you're asking me if finding the dry room full of...
No, because you're right, that obviously, but we were in that room discussing next steps. And the plan is good, and the plan is sensible. But what I'm asking you is, in your professional opinion, are there variables we're not aware of? I'm not asking for evidence here. I'm asking for a hunch.
My hunch is that the doctor does just something. There's something not right. Things he said to me before. It's like he's hungry. Like he's absolutely starving for this knowledge. To the point where I think he thinks it's his destiny or something.
Can I hear this conversation?
100%, I think. I think we're just behind you, a couple of paces.
Sam, I haven't debriefed you on the Alexandra mission.
It's Alexander, by the way. Just
yeah, that.
Hellcat won't be able to see it, but Sonya can see that Sam looks puzzled at that. And he says, is there more to tell? I sent you to bring him back, and you did.
I did.
What was he doing out there?
He was flying his ship full pelt into a Korax portal, and he wouldn't come back when I asked him to. I had to shoot out his engines.
Don't forget, by the way, that 4 Korax pod fighters flew in.
I'll say that too.
Information around him.
All right, I don't need the GM chipping in as well. Come on, it's bad enough you're all on the... Dr. Roy has made you, allowed you to be all on the same ship at the same time.
Yeah, that is not good for you.
That was why you rolled a 6 from cover up. You're like, I should be covering something else, but I can't think what it is.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah,
this is it.
Okay, I think Sam will look back and forth from Hellcat and Vega, and then just he'll stand up and give you another one of his... He's doing a lot of nodding this episode. He's going to do it again to you, Vega. And as he's climbing back into the cockpit seat, the co-pilot seat, he'll say, I have orders to beef up the security around Dr. Roy's labs. I think we best get back and do that.
Okay. So going back to the Hecate. Dr. Roy, you're staying on Agamemnon, is that right?
Just for the time being, yes. To make sure everything beds in. I mean, when I say beds in, I mean, I get the necessary samples and make sure they dispose of the unnecessary samples appropriately.
Well, I think after hours, when you've completed your work, I think the Admiral asks to see you in her quarters.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. It's been a long time. Let me brush my eyebrows.
I mean, you've had this relationship for the entire duration of the game and we haven't had a chance to do anything with it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course. I will be more than happy to have dinner with the Admiral. I'm assuming it's dinner.
Let's keep it to dinner. I think she will be waiting for you in her quarters wearing a slinky dress. And with a bottle of some nice wine put out and all that kind of thing.
I don't think Dr. Roy I don't think he's wearing anything particularly fancy because he's not packed or anything and his entourage or anything. So he's looking probably pretty basic in terms of outfit for his dinner. So he looks surprised.
What is basic for Dr. Roy?
I think he was just looking... Well, we haven't really established any kind of clothing standards in terms of what people wear.
I mean, I was assuming everybody knew that all the characters were naked up until this point.
Yeah, he's basically naked. No, he's just wearing his pants. So I suspect he's just wearing his scientific outfit, a clean uniform, science uniform.
Okay, cool.
That he's managed to obtain.
Well, I guess she knows the situation you're in, so I think she comes straight up to you as you come in the room and like closes the distance between you and leans in to give you a kiss.
Okay, let's freeze frame there for a second.
We have established this is your relationship, right? I'm not imagining this.
No, you haven't. You're not imagining that.
No, hang on. So we've had relationships. Relations. Sexual relations.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether it's like, you know, on tap.
Oh, okay. Well, she nevertheless does that.
But like maybe she thinks it's on tap and I...
Yeah, maybe she does.
I never thought it's on tap.
Well, how do you react?
We kiss... But, like, I'm not, like, super into it. Like, I'm, like, saying, I sort of push her back a bit and say, have you not got a lot on your mind? I'm surprised by this.
I do have a lot on my mind, Toby, but I wanted to see you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to see you. Hang on. I've got to look a name up. Natalia, isn't it? Natalia. yes.
I've just got this image of like Dr. Roy glancing down at his hand and he's just got Natalia written on it.
Yes, it's always wonderful time with you, Natalia.
Please come and sit down. Let's have a drink. We've got a lot to discuss.
Yeah, he pours the drinks and sits and pulls a chair out and does all the gentlemanly things that he's meant to do and sits down. What is troubling you, Natalia? It must be hard for you to manage all of this, put this on your shoulders. Tell me your worries.
I just thought it was time that we had a face-to-face talk about everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been very busy, haven't you?
Yes, I'm always busy doing the best I can for the fleet. Helping where I can and eliminating dangers in my limited capacity. Not like you and Captain Buckley, who were at the forefront of the fight against the Korax.
No, but you have been at the forefront in your own way, haven't you? You went out there during that battle on your own, on that little ship, hardly separated from the blackness of space by that thin little barrier, and flew out there.
Yes. Yes, I did.
She tilts her head at you to on one side.
I say, can I be honest with you for a moment? And I lean in and put my hand on hers.
Yes.
I feel like I'm close to making communication with the Korax. It may mean that we could end this without warfare, but we could agree a peace with Korax.
What do you think peace would mean?
It would mean a planet of our own, to be left on our own, to potentially, who knows where it may lead, but at least not this migratory existence, jumping from one place to another, fearing for our lives. The only way to end a war is to negotiate, is through diplomacy. When is it ever ended with endless combat? Our fleet is running thin. We do not have a lot of options. I'm just merely exploring this one.
I think she stands up and she walks. She's holding her glass of wine and she walks over to, she's got a viewing screen. You know, she's got the cool Captain Picard room that Sam doesn't have. She looks out of it and she says, it's a big universe. There ought to be space for two life forms to live side by side. But you know, the truth is, we don't want to destroy anything. We want to be one with you. And she turns around and smiles at you and waits for you to work out what she's saying.
Loading screen.
Would you like to make your special move that happens when you are close enough to the enemy that you can touch them?
Yes, I would. This is perfect. Everything is falling into place. When you get close enough to the enemy that you could reach out and touch them, say what you feel. Oh, well, it's going to have to be lust in this situation. So I work out what she's saying and then move in for a kiss at that point. She's close enough to touch them, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's not that big a room.
I rush across the room. Choose two. You learn something new about the enemy, Arthur Jim. The question. You are calmed and bolstered, erase pressure until you have exactly blah, blah, blah. The enemy tells you something about yourself. So I'm going to, again, I've only got a very low pressure, so I'm going to go learn something new about the enemy and something about myself.
I think should we draw a veil over the rest of the scene, assuming it's going in the direction that, you know, one imagines?
Mushroom sexy times.
Just be a room full of spores.
Spores, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Hot spore on spore action. Right, back to the Hecate. Sam, where are you going when you get back?
I mean, I think I have to, I have orders, and so I think I need to put them in motion. So I think I go to the bridge and to, I think we discussed me having a small office off the side of the bridge. It's not like a Star Trek ready room. It's much tighter than that. But it's the sort of place where I might meet with Enrique, the Marine captain, so that I can brief him on the orders from the Admiral and start getting the search underway, which means there's a window there. If anybody else wants to do something stupid, I think.
Funny you should say that. So, you're back at the bridge. It's busy as usual. And I guess, do you call Enrique up there, by the way?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So I think I go into, like, I'll check with the officer of the watch if there's anything I need to know, and then head into my office and I'll let Enrique know that we have new orders and to report so that we can discuss them. And I'll probably do the same for Hurricane, just as a courtesy. Because maybe I'm making, let me know if I'm wrong about this, Hellcat, but I kind of feel like the pilots and the pilot spaces on board the ship, it's my ship, but they're your spaces. As a matter of courtesy, if they're about to be searched, I would probably let the CAG know rather than just treat them like my spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And presumably, like, you're not doing a search to find all of the moonshine and...
No.
Ridiculousness that we probably shouldn't have, but clearly do.
Yeah, and that's exactly the sort of thing that I would want to say to both Hurricane and Enrique face-to-face.
And where do you meet them then? Because I think we established you've got a room near the bridge, but it's like a little broom cupboard.
Yeah, but I think it's probably big enough for a couple of people. So if I have to speak to my command staff, you know, like one or two of them, then we can fit in there. I'm kind of picturing a desk that takes up a bunch of the room and space for me behind it and space for a couple of people to stand or maybe sit on stools or something in front of it, but no more than that. Couldn't swing a cat.
Insist on, on the utmost puritanical modesty with your office. You could have had a bigger office, but you've actually just made it smaller.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of space that I've walled up behind.
That's just storage.
Do you want to play through that scene?
Unless you want to. I don't have any particular... Well, yes, I want to play through that scene with Enrique.
As in play through it, the briefing specifically, or...
I don't think we need to play through this. The reason I suggested it is because the last time Enrique and I had a chat, it was fraught.
Yeah, cool. Well, I do want to play through something after the briefing. I think after the briefing, Enrique walks back to the bridge with you,
mm-hmm.
which is not very far. And he says, Captain, I just want to apologize for the way I spoke to you outside Spanners. It was uncalled for. There was no need. You know that I have the highest respect for you. And
Enrique, and I'll use his first name advisedly, just don't, you have nothing to apologize for. We haven't been in many situations where I've needed to rely on my senior officers to call me on my shit, but that may have been one of them. And so don't apologize.
That's very kind of you, sir. It's been a tense and difficult time, and we've all had to make difficult decisions, and I know that.
And I hope you also know that you and your people did the absolute best in a shitty situation.
I do know it, sir. Yeah. He smiles, and then he frowns for a second, and he's looking over your shoulder towards the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes suddenly widen, and he suddenly physically grabs you and shouts, Captain, get down. What do you do?
Let me just check something real quick.
Oh no, I've just remembered what playbook I'm dealing with here. Shit.
Yeah, so I think, does Enrique like move to pull me down or something like that?
Yeah, I think he's physically trying to like yank you. You're basically stood in the doorway of the bridge, and he's like, you're between him and the bridge, but he's physically trying to yank you away from the bridge door out into the corridor outside.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to use his momentum, because he's pulling backwards, to shove him out of the bridge door. I'm going to shove him out of danger.
All right.
At whatever cost.
So what is that? Is that a move, or is it just?
Well, just playing character? It's probably a move. The move I have is you'll have to go through me.
Uh-huh.
When you get between another character and a threat, roll plus hard.
You better roll that then.
Yeah. Okay.
You better roll a good. What's your pressure at the moment?
My pressure is 2 because I had a nice chat with Sonia. I have rolled a 5, which becomes a 6 with my hard. So I'm going to mark that point of pressure for a 7.
What does that mean?
So on a hit, they're safe for now, but you're in the crosshairs. On a 7 to 9, you take the immediate impact of the threat as well. So any injuries, pressure, or similar that the other character would have taken happen to you instead.
Oh, shit, Sam. Okay. So he tries to pull you out the way, and you drive yourself forward as the bridge explodes behind you.
What? Was this...
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens. You give him 2 hours to think of a outcome of a bad move.
Bang. You are knocked to the ground and you're knocked unconscious. And the next thing anybody hears about it is that the captain is in sick bay in critical condition.
Sounds like you need a doctor.
Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find more information about Last Fleet and the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget, we've got Lovecraft Desk 2nd Edition coming to crowdfunding on Backerkit very soon, and there's a link to sign up for notifications about that also in the show notes. See you next time.
Are we allowed to talk about the P word? How did it go? Has it gone? Has it been?
Whoa, that's a bit racy for this podcast, Becky.
The proms.
Oh, the prom.
Oh, the proms.
I mean, of course we can talk about the prom. It was fabulous. You can see it on the it's on iPlayer if you fancy watching.
Do we get to see and hear Lisa specifically?
I'm under the impression that she appears at least once on camera.
On the television?
On the actual television, yes.
What?
It was sold out, so there were 5,500 people there. But the person who says she appeared on television is her Nana, who is now quite old. Oh. And so,
oh, you think she's just like seeing some random and we're like, yes, that's her.
We'll have to watch and find out.
Is this like the time that my grandpa won the national lottery? Because as they called out the numbers, he wrote them down. And when they recalled out the numbers, he checked them against the numbers he'd written down, not against the numbers on his ticket.
Oh, no.
Still only managed to get 4 out of 7 numbers right.
That's impressive. Most impressive.
We had a panic phone call from him. We had to race down the road to find out what was going on, and then all was revealed. And then unfortunately the next week he did it again, but we were we were wise to it by that point, because at that point he said he got all 7 numbers and we were like, no.
Oh man, that's great though, because you just get that little few minutes of thinking I've won the lottery joy.
Well, he thought he'd won right up until the point we all turned up to look at his ticket and went, this is
the numbers. Yeah, that's a good hour of thinking you're a millionaire.
No, he only lived like a 2-minute walk down the road. My parents and my sister and my grandparents all liked to talk to each other.
If you needed to put coats and galoshes on and stuff, then...
That's true.
5 minutes is more than most of us get.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my grandpa. I want to be clear as well that he didn't have any mental... problems at his late stage of life. This is the sort of thing that he'd have done as a young man as much as when he was an old man.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate. Totally. I could definitely see myself doing that.
Yeah, I can absolutely imagine doing it, and I'm having a very visceral reaction.
Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Maybe we should all start doing it on Saturdays. Just write down the numbers, then checking our own numbers with the numbers, seeing if you can pull it off their own minds.
I do wonder how many people have done that.
Loads. It's probably a weekly occurrence.
I bet it is.
Why do you need like that middle? Don't you just look at your ticket, though? Why did he need to write them down?
So that he would remember first the numbers he had to compare the ticket with.
He died when I was 17 and I'm 43 now, so I've got no way of checking, see.
Seance.
You do. Ouija board-tastic. You need to spell out, why did you write the numbers down anyway?
I think he did it so that he could check them against his ticket again at his leisure without feeling rushed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But instead of doing that, they
he didn't have a VHS then. Because he could have just recorded it on his VHS.
Well, that's another level of complexity.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a man who wrote down the national lottery numbers and then checked them against the national lottery numbers. And you think that he is up for fiddling around with a VHS recorder.
That's way simpler.
I don't know.
I do want to come back to your usage of Ouija boards there, Josh. You don't have to actually spell out what you're asking the spirits.
Yeah, I know. Even as I was saying, I was
just
thinking,
this isn't
how Ouija boards work, is it?
That, Ed, is a tip-top golden life hack.
What?
Speed up your Ouija board sessions by speaking the questions.
Let them do the spelling. You can just say the stuff.
Yeah.
It's a trick, because if you do it that way, then the ghost will have to talk directly to you.
They go, hey, I've never even thought of that. Maybe that's what I should try next. I'll get one of my Ouija board.
I wrote a game where a Ouija board was the main mechanic.
I've always had makeshift ones. But I've never had an official, like, exorcist-style one.
I think the game is literally just basically doing a seance and have the ghost talk to you. But the rules give you specific permission to, like, decide what the answer's going to be, because no one knows who it is that's steering the...
They're fascinating things, because I used to be able to steer them to where I wanted them to go, but also not really push anyone at all, just through the power of my Uri Geller mind. I don't know how I managed to do it, but I always used to get it to be able to go to where I wanted it to go to, even though your fingers are all touching the glass. I don't know how. It's my psychic powers.
Maybe you were actually channeling what the ghost was saying before it said it.
that no one has disproved that, so it must be true. That's based on the fact likely. That it's not been disproved. So
Occam's razor says,
yeah,
give Ed all your money.
Yeah, I used to insult other people in the presence of the Ouija board for fun. I honestly don't know how I did it. Except no one said, oh, you're pushing on my finger. Maybe I hypnotized them first without realizing it, and then they all just had a dream that I was we contacted spirits. I don't know.
I have a question about this. My question is, if everybody was just resting their finger on top of a glass and somebody was applying a small amount of pressure, everyone's like, oh, you could tell that no one was pushing it. And I'm like, how? How could you tell that no one was pushing it? Because if I was just touching my finger like this...
You're supposed to be touching... All your fingers are supposed to be touching each other,
aren't they? Oh, they're supposed to be touching each other. Yeah, and then
you're supposed to be reasonably lifted up so that you should either, if you push it quickly, it would fall over or coming from your direction, or somebody would feel your finger pushing the glass against theirs. But it doesn't really work because when you're pushing a glass, your finger's not really going to move. Is it?
Are you saying this is a tool of charlatans? Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Because that's a big claim.
Which is upsetting because when I stopped using the bells on my toes to indicate ghosts arriving, this I thought was the new thing that was going to be legit. But no, I think I've got deep suspicions about it.
Write in, listeners.
Do you pay people to do Ouija boards, or is it just a... It's like a casual thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it started off as a parlor game, didn't it? It wasn't even have spooky connotations at first. I think so. Unless I just made that up.
So what were you supposed to be doing with them then?
Well, it's just a kind of interesting sort of, you know, collective action sort of, like, no one's moving it, but everyone's moving it.
Yeah.
When I wrote a game using Ouija board as a mechanic, I literally just wrote the rules to using a Ouija board. That's all I did.